St. Stephen, the first martyr, pray for us. Please be seated. I wish you a blessed feast day of St. Stephen, and thank you for turning out to celebrate this second day of our Christmas octave, despite of the snow, which is in the process of becoming deep and crisp and even this morning. And we wish a happy name day to our celebrant today, Father Stephen McKenna. I see the heavens opened, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday, we saw the heavens opened, and we saw Jesus, the Son of God, made man, not standing but lying, a little newborn babe, at the right hand of some domestic beast, an ox or an ass, in the manger of Bethlehem. And we heard the heavens opened and the angels singing, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. Today, and this is, you might say, the profound spiritual reason for the feast day of St. Stephen, first martyr, first to gain admittance to the crib. Today, St. Stephen comes to save us, you might say, from sentimentalizing Christmas. Too many people crowd into midnight mass and have sentimental feelings, and they tank up on them, and that seems to be enough to last them pretty much through Easter. But it must not be so for us. We must remember the difficult thing about following our Lord, about gaining a place at the crib, if we are one day, like St. Stephen, to be a crowned one, to gain our crown. And St. Stephen tells us religion is not a matter firstly, or just of feeling or of sentiment. How hard those stones must have felt as they crashed down upon him as he was being martyred, first to shed his blood for Christ, the newborn Son of God. It is not a matter of feeling, it is something else. There are two or three things that St. Stephen tells us that we must do if we are to not only gain admittance to the crib here below, the manger scene, but one day to gain admittance to heaven, if we are to see for ourselves the heavens opened. And they all revolve around those two very difficult theological virtues carried out in practice, charity and faith. Charity. We are not at all surprised or scandalized that St. Stephen got his start because of a lack of charity in the infant church. That is to say, they're all Jewish converts, but the Jewish converts from outside of Jerusalem, those who had been born into Greece or Greek-speaking, felt that the Hebrew converts right from the area of the Holy Land were neglecting their poor people and widows in the daily distribution of food. And there was a dispute, and then some letters were written and carrying on, and eventually the Holy Ghost inspired the creation of the diaconate. The seven deacons were set up and ordained, and they were in charge of waiting on tables, so everybody would get their fair share and no one would have occasion to complain. Good luck. Of course, those things never really happen. People probably continued still to complain. And that's why charity is so important. We do our best to be fair and to be proper and to be right, and yet that's never enough. So where does charity take us next? Well, it takes us to forgiveness. Because we always have to ask to be forgiven. We mean to cut the cake up fairly, but sometimes someone might get a larger piece, and then the other one will be complaining. So we have to have forgiveness. We ask forgiveness for ourselves, and we give forgiveness to others. And that's, of course, the great, beautiful lesson of St. Stephen, that he forgave even his persecutors, as we sing in his collect today. He imitated our Lord even unto the end, even unto death. And that's why our Lord put that into the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive each day of our lives. We'll always have to do that. But that's part of heaven being opened, and heaven being opened to persecutors, and heaven being opened to sinners, and heaven being opened to infidels. Thus Saul, a Jew, he gets converted. He's just standing by holding the coats of those who are splattering St. Stephen's blood with their stones because of his profession of Christ's divinity. But some of that blood falls on Saint Paul's soul, and he gets converted. The other great virtue of Saint Stephen is that of faith. The baby who is lying there is the same as the as Jesus, whom St. Stephen saw at the right hand of God in heaven. He is the Son of God made man. St. Stephen doesn't spend that much time worrying about who got the biggest piece of cake. He goes out into the streets. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he starts to preach, just as the apostles did. He preaches the truth of Christ's divinity, an inconvenient, non-sentimental truth. And for this, he gets himself dragged before the Sanhedrin. He gets himself dragged out of the city to a precipice, and there he is stoned to death. It is ever so. If we are to gain our crown, it will be at a hard price. This is what it means to be a man of goodwill, and this is what it means to have peace. You see, St. Stephen is so important for us. Know him, love him, invoke him daily when it's hard to be charitable, invoke him when you find it difficult to forgive, invoke him when you're tempted to compromise even a little bit of your precious Catholic faith, invoke him so that you'll get your crown, invoke him so that one day you too will see the heavens opened and our Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.